Hey, all cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Josh, in keeping with the theme of Game Week 10, I did consider not showing up for the recording, and you'd have to have an auto sub for this week's episode. How did you fare with all these blanks, all these players that were no-shows?
Yeah, it was, well, here, Brandon, let's let our listeners set the table, okay? And then I will comment after that. So we're jumping right into this week's episode, Brandon. No foreplay at all. We're just going right into the pod.
Nope, shoes on, pants on, shirts on, just right into it.
Exactly. So, yeah, I hope you've girded your loins, people. David Geckel says, I set a record for most players that didn't play at all in my FPL career with 5. So I got that going for me, which is nice. Oh, and I wildcarded. We have a friend. He had a humble brag of the week a couple weeks ago, Brandon, Jeff Petter, who was 2K in the world when he wildcarded.
And no big deal.
Everything fell apart on that wild card. It was the bold. A lot of managers did this. The wild card that you just wild carded out all of the Liverpool players, right? You were just like, you know what? No Salah, no Mane. Yeah. Maybe they, you know, probably kept Robertson, which didn't help this week anyway.
And the internet was awash in articles last week. There was a great one on The Ringer that was making the rounds, basically saying Manchester City is the greatest club. Or has the greatest squad to ever play the game. And they're the only team that matters in the Premier League at the moment.
Right.
So,
right.
I mean, not that I'm going to argue that, but clearly they're the best side statistically.
Except for Benjamin Mendy, who I think they actually canceled his contract. I think that he is. Yeah,
what a poor showing against Spurs. We can talk about that.
He was a 5 out of 10. The way people were talking about him on Twitter, I'm actually surprised that like Man City isn't starting legal proceedings against him. Like I think they might actually try to get him thrown in jail for being mediocre in a tough match on a horrible pitch.
Well, just my 2 cents on the Mendy situation or his performance against Spurs. He is a mercurial player, and I don't think that's surprising to anyone.
But you'd never consider bringing him in now after this horrible performance, right? I mean, he's the worst player. Was it the worst performance of the last 5 years, or would you say 10?
Well, let's see. Who is that GK? Who's the Liverpool Karius? It was Loris Karius-esque.
and that's why Man City lost 5-0, right? Oh no, he kept a clean sheet and wasn't subbed at all, and it was perfect.
Whatever, Mr. Mendy owner who feels spurned by social media. Let's get off that. So anyway, the point is, yes, the trend was to move away from Liverpool and go big on Man City. I don't think anyone was banking on Man City blowing Spurs away this week. So yeah, again, patience.
Sure.
I still don't think that's a bad way to go on your wild card.
Mike DePicha says, I don't remember a week when there were so many unexpected blanks. Is there something I should be doing to see this coming, or should I chalk it up to a perfect storm that can't be planned to counteract? So I saw you on Saturday night. People who listened all the way through to last week's podcast knew that we had a little movie night. We watched John Carpenter's Escape from New York, and then as dessert, we watched the original Predator.
Delicious.
It was a very enjoyable 5 hours of movies. Weirdly, Escape from New York actually made Predator like seem worse. I don't know. I enjoyed Escape from New York more. I didn't expect that. So anyway, that's neither here nor there, Brandon. When you showed up though, I was steaming, right?
And you were.
Partially because I felt like I've been holding these 2 transfers for weeks, right? I've been sort of carrying them over, using them one at a time, waiting for the perfect time to use them.
And ace up the sleeve, some might say.
Yeah,
the 2 frees.
I actually wonder if sometimes I think you can overvalue the 2 transfers, and I think I could have used them sooner to be honest. And so I finally use them, and I'm like, all right, Arnie is playing Leicester. Leicester, you know, terrible defensive team. Just like Arnie, like amazing run of fixtures coming up. And then to fund the Arnie move, I dropped Richarlison for Kennedy, right? And so this is the Kennedy to me is sort of. Listen, it's only one game week, and he picked up 3 points. It wasn't like a complete disaster. But I'm already feeling a little bit of the Ben Mee move that, mm-hmm. that you made a few yep. weeks ago. Just this, like,
what was I doing?
You know
it when as soon as it happens, that feeling, that creeping
yeah.
feeling.
Yeah, I mean, Fulham are bad, but Newcastle are bad. Like, Fulham are bad, and they're fun to watch. Newcastle are bad, and they're no fun to watch. And it's you know, so now I have to watch Kennedy play, you know, which I just don't want to do. Because I don't want to watch this team, you know. And I don't blame Rafa Benitez or, you know, the players. I mean, they're defensively, they're all right. I don't know. Just like it's – the team doesn't have a midfield, right? It's just like it's not a fun team to watch. So anyway, so I'm kind of steaming about that. And then Arnie doesn't play. And, yeah. you know, it was just – you know, apparently he hadn't even trained for a couple of days. And so I just go on this long rant, and we sort of, at first my rant was just about all these so-called injury people who like the only expertise they have is to like transcribe press conferences and pass sure. them on to, pass them on to Twitter. And then you guys sort of, we were with our friend Trevor too, and you guys sort of talked me down, and you were like, listen, they're doing a valuable service. They're aggregating content. So we don't have to do it ourselves, which I do agree with. And so
I got enough to do, Josh. You think I have time?
Right. So the pivot I made was that we deserve better as FPL managers. We deserve someone who has actual knowledge about these clubs, inside contacts. Yeah. There has to be some journalist out there who's been, you know, maybe they just got laid off from The Guardian or something, and they, you know, they have contacts in these clubs.
Who's the journalist who's going to step up and say, I'm going to work the FPL right. beat, and I'm going to leverage those actual yeah. contacts.
Anyone but Jamie Jackson, right? So if the famous breaker of the Aguero rested rumor.
Sure,
game week
sure, sure, sure.
So, you know, someone though with actual contacts will reemerge as an insider expert, and they'll start charging like $9.99 a month or some ridiculous amount of money, and I will yeah. probably pay it just to have actual knowledge of what's going on. Because once it broke, it was like, oh yeah, he hasn't trained for days, you know, he's been sick. And it's like that never came up. No one talked about that.
I've got two things to say. One is I used to go by my rule of Instagram, and if your players appear in the team's training montages on their team's Instagram feeds, that means they're there. But that has been exposed. Somebody found a post from Manchester United with Chris Smalling at training, and it was actually the same picture they used about a year ago. Right. So that's nothing to go by. Granted, Chris Smalling has a completely different haircut at this point, but maybe it was a couple months. I don't know.
Right.
Anyway,
right.
The other thing I would say is it's not that we it would be cool to have a journalist working that beat, but also with regard to the existing injury accounts.
Right.
Yeah, they are good and they provide a valuable service. I think FPL managers still need to step back and say, you're not getting all the information from them.
Right.
So
it was kind of like the emperor has no clothes kind of moment, right? Where you're like, oh, that's right. These guys don't know anything.
Well, you know? It's not that they don't know anything. They know some things. They just don't know everything.
Right. So but they know the same things. They know the same things we do, though. I mean, do you think that, and I'm not going to call anybody out here by name, but I mean, do you think that any of them actually have knowledge that we don't have? I mean, even these Liverpool accounts that tweeted out that the lineup was going to be unchanged from the Champions League, there's three changes to that lineup, including the, you know, what, the third highest owned player in Liverpool on that team, you know? So from an FPL perspective.
Let's give a shout out. You checked one article when we were having this discussion that rounds up all press conferences on Fridays before the weekend deadline.
Yes, FPL Connect. All right. I will shout out FPL Connect. Just like go to that one place on Friday and they will aggregate all of the pressers that happened. You don't need to read any more of these injury experts because they don't know anything. Okay. And I'm sorry. I don't mean to be insulted. They just don't. And so just read this press conference roundup and you'll be fine. Okay.
So that's our screed editorial for the week. Shall we move on and talk about our game?
Yeah.
Week?
I mean, to answer Mike's question, he didn't do anything wrong. It's just that nobody knows anything. And every now and then you're going to have a week like this where this kind of thing is going to happen. But if Arnautovic hadn't, you know, trained for 2 days, somebody probably should have known about that.
Where are the drones over these training grounds?
Exactly. All right. So how was your game week 10? You know what? You had a good one. I had a bad one. So let's talk about yours first, and then I can just kind of pretend that I talked about mine already, and we can move on.
All right. So the points that I coveted from my bench last week with Matt Ryan and Cathcart on Watford, I finally got. this week. I started Cathcart on the bench, but because Rabo didn't play, Cathcart came in for me with his clean sheet. So Matt Ryan, Cathcart, both heroes, and I finished on 77 points. Okay. And it looks
they've just updated overall rank, Brian, if you refresh your page.
Yeah, okay, let me refresh. I think I got a green arrow. Yep, so I'm moving up from around 21K overall to 15,935. So a nice green arrow. It's been at least three, probably 4 weeks since I've got a green arrow. So this feels good. Patience paid off with Ryan Fraser. Bournemouth had a terrific game, predictably, against Fulham. And we're going to talk quite a bit about Bournemouth and Fraser and Wilson coming up and what to do with them as their fixtures turn. The armband on Mo Salah paid off. So real quick, Salah, what is the narrative here? Salah's back. I mean, now he's what, scored three goals in three.
I think that we, you know, have talked about patience all season, and, you know, you had to wait out a couple of bad fixtures. I mean, the worst run he had was two blanks in a row, right? Like, just was never that bad, and now he's on five goals and four assists in the season. And now they're, you know, they play Arsenal away, which is not a fixture that should be scary for anybody. They play Fulham at home, Watford, Everton, Burnley. I mean, their next run of fixtures is fantastic. You know, his minutes have been managed, you know, reasonably well. He got subbed off early in the Champions League match. He's certainly going to play in that Arsenal game. So, you know, I mean, I could see him maybe getting rested for Fulham at game week 12, but I mean, I think he's just back to a must-own player again. And
basically the story hasn't changed since game week one. Stick with him. The money issue is something that is still compelling when you're talking about getting in a bunch of Manchester City players, like we were talking about at the top of the show.
Yeah. It's annoying, but I mean, if he's back to the player he was before, which all of the sort of indicators, all the sort of, you know, I hate this term, but all of the kind of underlying stats seem to indicate. Mm-hmm. I mean, as long as you can deal with him being dispossessed a lot and never getting three bonus points, then it's fine.
Yep.
I mean, only he could get a goal and two assists and not get three bonus points, right? That is like perfect Salah.
Had Mane not come in with the brace, Salah would have. Well, I guess it was a wash. Well, not even a wash. It was a net gain for Salah to provide that assist for Mane's brace, just to lock in those two bonus. Anyway, last bit of patience on my team was Alonso, who we talked a fair amount last week, comes in with an assist and some bonus. So I'm glad I've stayed the course with him. And I am now in your situation. I banked a transfer. Looking at my team, and I don't know what move I'm supposed to make going into game week 11. I've got all these midfielders that I'm not sure which one to move on. Is it Madison? Is it Fraser?
Right.
Certainly not Hazard. What do I do? The long-term move I want to make is to bring in Ederson for either Matt Ryan or Patricio.
Wow. I wish I was you. Sounds like you got a fun week ahead. I'm back down to a measly one transfer, and, I finished on 62 points, which is, I suppose, not that bad. It's not. I know it's not that bad. I dropped about 10,000 spots. I was 13K in the world, and I'm 23K. So not dire. I mean, I think going into last week's podcast, I was, you know, 13K, liked my team, and had two free transfers. And so that's kind of the moment when you hope you want to like push on a little bit, you know, but certainly, you know, it wasn't like I dropped out of the top 100K or something like that. You know, it wasn't that bad. So just kind of a frustrating game week though, again, you know, to, you know, have these transfers and then burn one on Arnie, you know, now who, I mean, hopefully he plays this weekend. I mean, we'll see, right? I mean, it's, you know, I brought in an injured player. So,
get your flu shots, everyone.
Yeah. Eden Hazard, you know, I mentioned this on Twitter. It was the boy who cried Europa League moment. You know, it was like, you know, for years and years, managers have invented flimsy excuses for why their top players can't play in the Europa League. And it turned out for once it was actually true. You know, Hazard didn't play in the Burnley match. Didn't matter in the end. So it was okay. I mean, getting Mendy's clean sheet today, that was like a nice kind of, I felt like it like steadied the ship a little bit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the real issue was just that, you know, I mean, it was nice to have Salah as a captain, but he was the most captain player. And, you know, Alonso 50% owned. Basically everyone I had that wasn't highly owned didn't really do anything. And, you know, Hazard didn't play, Arnie didn't play. And so, and then Højbjerg didn't play too, which, you know, like in theory, it's like, oh, who doesn't care? Who cares if, you know, Pierre-Emile Højbjerg plays.
Yeah.
But in the end, it meant I only got 1 point from Wan-Bissaka instead of three from Højbjerg, you know, assuming that, that Newcastle Southampton match is still nil-nil if he plays.
Now, so, if he plays, that's a totally different game. I think Newcastle just rampages all over Southampton.
Well, it's not like that isn't – like that's like a good fixture for him. I mean, it's possible he could have got a, you know, an assist
he could have,
or something.
He could have,
you know,
shot from 25 yards out instead of 40 yards out.
Exactly. I mean, certainly that's a game where I wouldn't have been horrible. If you told me going in, oh, you're going to have an injury and Højbjerg's going to play, I would be like, okay, that's fine. You know, like it's a decent time to play him. So I ended up playing a five at the back unintentionally because of all the injured players. It wasn't a fun week. And the Mitro thing, anyone who has Mitro right now is so frustrated because, you know, that whole team is just like, it's like a whole, it feels like a total stay away right now. You know, and yet they play Huddersfield away in game week 11.
It's the best time for that fixture to come up for Fulham because they desperately need a weakened opponent. But it's the worst time for FPL managers because now we have this like, do I stick or twist? Do I buy Saul Holt?
I think that Mitro is, unless you're on a wild card, you have to hold him for one more week. I don't know how you could drop him away to Huddersfield, right? And you just can't do it. Unless there was like, I don't know, if you had the money. And the problem is, you know, a lot of the players that you'd want, like a lot of the players that are kind of like for like don't have great fixtures anyway, right? Like, you know, Bournemouth play Man United, you know, Wolves, if you want to bring in Raul, you know, they play Spurs. It's just not, even if you were able to upgrade to like an Arsenal forward, you know, they play Liverpool at home, and Liverpool's defense is solid this year, you know? So, it just feels like a week to hold.
Good. We're going to talk a lot more about midfielders coming up. We're going to talk a bit more about the situation with Mitro. Let's do a little housekeeping first, Josh. We have no update on the Super League right now because, you know, the FPL site is famously slow in updating. So as soon as the Super League gets updated, we will throw a top 10 up on our Twitter feed at Hail Cheaters. Yeah. Give us a follow there to keep tabs. And then moving on to Patreon, a couple of new thank yous this week at the Mbakani level. We've got Wayne Walsh, Joe, and Brian Fay. Thank you guys for your support. If you want to support the podcast, visit us at patreon.com/always cheating, where you can see more at the various tiers, levels of support, where you can get cool, fun stuff, special leagues. We've got t-shirts that are just mailing out to our Vokes. Yeah, it's the Volkswagen and producer level patrons who get the t-shirts. Those are actually, some of them are in the mail as we speak. So, and another couple of updates on Patreon. Josh, you launched the suicide contest this week.
Yes, we have the Suicide League launched this week. If you join by this Friday, I will give you a league code and you can participate in it. The winner gets one of these new Always Cheating t-shirts, and they look awesome. They really, Brandon, if you like any of the design stuff that we do, then you'll like this as well. It's really very cool shirt. If you look at the avatar on our Twitter page, you can see it. And anyway, we're giving that out to the winner of the contest. It's not a fantasy contest. It is basically you log in and you pick a team to either win or draw. They just can't lose starting in game week 11. What makes it tricky is you can only pick the same team once. Right. So, it's tempting to start off with Man City, but then you can't get Man City again. I don't know. We've done it. I think this is our third time doing it. And
the simplicity of it is its beauty.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So in order to be involved in the Suicide League contest, you have to become a Patreon supporter. Again, patreon.com/always cheating. And the last thing we'll mention that's available to our subscribers at the moment is our Starting 11 Retro Kit contest. This contest is, of course, brought to you by our friends at Starting 11 Daily Fantasy, the app available for your iPhone and Android. And of course, the game is updating, so we're not going to have a big announcement on the pod, but whoever is the manager with the most points at the end of this game week in our Patreon supporters FPL mini league is getting a retro shirt from 3retro.com. So whoever you are out there listening, I'm so happy for you. And you will shortly be getting an email from us about what kit you want and where we're going to send it. But good news for everybody else. The November retro kit contest from Starting 11 starts a pronto. So in order to be involved, yeah, just join our Patreon page and we'll set you up.
Brendan, just one quick thing. I was looking at our top 10. Wijnaldum Leviosala is number 9 in the world right now and number 1 in the Always Cheating Patreon League. So one of our Patreon supporters is in the top 10 in the world right now, which is pretty cool. So be like Wijnaldum Leviosala and become a Patreon today.
If you didn't guess at the top of the podcast, this is a great week for rants. So we have a few rants of the week. First one comes from listener Tim O'Sullivan. I have a question. If you go from 16K to 200K in two game weeks, do you A, quit, B, pretend someone hacked your FPL account, or C, email Richard Scudamore asking for a second chance?
Brennan, this is a good question because this happened to me last year. The famous right around the time of the famous my minus 8 where I brought in two defenders, one of whom didn't play, uh-huh. and one of whom was the famous Holobos. And I was around 20K, and then I dropped out of the top 100K and then out of the top 200K like a week later. So you don't quit. You don't pretend someone hacked your FPL account. You just get a podcast and you complain about it every week for about 10 weeks. And that's my advice.
I think it's great advice. All right. Next rant comes from our friend FPL Duke, who simply says, my question for the pod is this. And then there are 6 sobbing emojis. FPL Duke, always the gentleman, says thank you after that. So we wish you the best and a quick recovery, Mr. Duke.
That's right. And we met him in London, Brennan.
Lovely chap.
Yeah. Prashant Tawawi says, rant, had it not been for Pogba's stupidity, I could have had 3 more points for a Martial assist. Okay, you know, you actually should have had 5 or 6 more points because Martial missed an unbelievable chance at the end of that game.
Oh, Prashant's got you covered here if you read on.
Oh, I'm sorry. And 4 more points for a shot clean sheet. And then Martial missed a sitter in the end. A move from a Charleston to Marshall could have been magical with 2 goals and 1 assist. Brendan, this is an interesting point that he brings up here because when I made a mistake that I had made the last couple of seasons that I had not been making as often this year, which is to kind of wash the current week down a little bit and or sort of. Not have the strongest possible team for one game week because I'm trying to plan for 3 or 4 game weeks at once.
Yeah, right.
So there were a lot of
Theo Walcott effect.
There were a lot of players that I was considering bringing in. David Brooks. I was considering, if you can believe, well, I was considering Perea. I was even considering one of a long time always treating troll and Gerard De La Feu.
Well done, like, bravo.
Virtually every player that I considered for that Richarlison slot, including Richarlison, delivered this game week, and instead I'm stuck with Kennedy. All because I was scared of more difficult fixtures down the line for these players. Don't make this mistake. Like, prioritize the game week's game in front of you. Now, don't be crazy, right? I mean, you know, like you can't, like, you know, you don't drop like super, like, you know, like, I don't know. Like, there are like crazy versions of this, but like, don't neglect the game week that's in front of you in order to have good game weeks down the line. It's not the right way of thinking about it. I mean, just in hindsight, it was like, why don't I just bring in David Brooks? Like, Man United they're not keeping clean sheets this year.
Confucius said game week in hand is worth two in the bush. How does that go now?
Yeah, something like he says, may you live in interesting game weeks. So it's all true.
Excellent. Okay, Josh, the more you know. Final rant of the week comes from Jeff FPL Thunder. How is it possible for my, quote, dreamtime midfield to turn into a selection of doubts and overpriced gambles so quickly? I'm calling it the Schneiderling Freuden.
This is how the game works, Brandon. This is part of what makes it fun, you know? Yeah. We're moving. I like that we're sort of moving out of the template, you know? The template stuff is always overrated because the template shifts like every week. But it does feel like there's a chance to really move things around. There was a few weeks ago, it seemed like Madison, there were like so many players that just felt like good, solid, locked into your team players, right? Like you could just have them for weeks and weeks. And now Arnie's a doubt. Mitro is a doubt. Madison is a doubt. My beloved Kennedy is a doubt. Wolves, have conceded two matches in a row and they're about to play Spurs and Arsenal back to back. So, I think that, the template never lasts very long. And so I'm glad that it's breaking up pretty quickly.
Yeah. So we are in the midst of a great template reshuffle right now. So we're going to talk a lot coming up in the meat of the pod about mid price mids. Is Barkley for real? Is Martial for real? We're going to talk a bit about Mitro, answer some of your striker questions. But first, before we have a quick break, a new section, Fail of the Week. This one came to us on our Patreon Slack forum. It was about 10 minutes left to go in the Man City Spurs match, and I see Red Dagger post to our main feed. He just says, "Oh shit, I forgot to pick up my kid from school." And this wasn't a joke. This was for real. I saw a message right before we started recording. It was like, "Yeah, my son's teacher was really mad at me." So this is perhaps the most FPL thing I have ever seen happen online.
This
isn't
the American sports fan experience, Brandon. He's in the West Coast too, right? So it was like 3 o'clock.
Yep.
All right, Brandon. Let's take a very quick break, and we'll get back to a mid-priced mids debate. Brandon, we're back. Part one, the mid-priced mids debate, a.k.a. are Ross Barkley and Tony Marshall for real?
Yeah, so many questions coming out of Game Week 10 about what to do with the old guys. We've lost our taste for James Maddison, Ryan Fraser, and even Richarlison. So we've got lots of questions about should we be replacing these guys with the new boys, Ross Barkley or Anthony Martial, as you said. Squad goals sends us a message. A lot of promising 6 to 7 million-ish midfielders surfacing right now. In what order would you rate them? Okay, so now here's the rogues gallery, Josh, of mid price. I guess you would qualify these as third tier midfielders.
Fourth, depending
on the what their price is. We've got Shaqiri, who's starting to make more frequent appearances for Liverpool. Barkley, of course, Martial,
check.
Fraser, Pereira, Sigurdsson, and who's definitely one of the more expensive guys on this list, James Maddison and Richarlison. So if you're looking at just this list, and I think we could add a few as we go on with the discussion, who are you rating best, first to worst, I guess?
Well, it's a lot of players to rank. I think that, I don't know, I'm sort of coming around.
Perhaps this can help you frame it. Another question from Monsieur Farg. Sell Richarlison and Maddison. Straight up, he's just gone right there. Sell Richarlison and Maddison for Martial and Barkley. How moved are you by these recent performances?
That's so Farg. That's classic Farg. I would, you're going to sell Richarlison before our home match, like to Brighton? You can't do that. Maddison to Martial, if you could do that just straight up, if you had enough money in the bank, that move I'm a fan of. And between Barkley and Martial, however you say his name, I'm just going to call him Tony. All right. He's Tony from now on.
Absolutely.
Between Ross and Tony, I think those guys are both members of the cast of Friends. I am still not a believer in Ross Barkley. And maybe I'm just okay. So maybe you don't have to be a full believer in him because he's not expensive, right? He's 5.8. Another midfielder I could have brought in this game week. He had 17 points. He has a 13-point haul 2 weeks before. He picked up a goal in the Man United match. He has four starts on the season, although one of them only went 59 minutes. Mm-hmm. Didn't start between game week three and we had one start between game week three and game week nine. Probably wouldn't have started this match if Hazard had been healthy. A lot of competition in those midfield slots as well. Yep.
We had a very thoughtful post on our Slack from Vinyl Richie, who's a great manager in his own right, talking a bit about the Conte, Jorginho, Kovacic rotation. And depending on the type of fixture, the formation that Sarri is going to go with, Barkley is always going to be a bit in doubt because, yeah, there are so many options in that Chelsea midfield.
Yeah, it's I guess that's the concern. I mean, I don't know that he is necessarily a guaranteed starter in that team when Hazard is healthy. And I'm not sure that he offers everything that, you know, Kovacic offers when he, I don't know, like, especially in a tougher game, you know. I mean, the thing is, as a short-term punt, I probably don't mind it, right? Because mm-hmm. you know, Palace and Everton at home Palace, Everton, and Fulham at home in three of the next four, it's probably not an awful punt. I think it's possible, I guess, just to circle back to what I was saying a minute ago, I think it's possible to not be a believer in him in a long-term way and still mm-hmm. feel like it's reasonable to bring him in because he's so cheap. You know, it's so easy to do.
I actually feel the opposite. I am a believer in Ross Barkley. I've always had a soft spot for him back to his Everton days, and it's nice to see him find some form.
Screamers.
But FPL-wise, I don't have any faith in him. I mean, when he was had a regular starting role at Everton, he was Theo Walcott's level of promise, finally bring him into your squad and completely roll out the troll red carpet for you. Right. And it is interesting comparison with Martial. Martial comes from that Mesut Ozil school of body language where I watch him play and I'm like, you're an exceptional footballer, but you kind of don't want to be here right now. And
all right, where question, true or false, is Barkley the white Andros Townsend?
Are you referencing the distance from which Townsend is liable to shoot from?
Well, they both can be a little ball hockey. They both like to shoot from distance.
No, Barkley is like 100 times the player that Andros Townsend is. Barkley has at least has right. close control. He can play through the middle, which, you know, I think there's that is a skill in and of itself. So
fair enough. I'm not really a fan of Barkley or his game, to be totally honest. But
his quiet personality.
I don't like either one, to be honest. So, I think I have a thing against people who try to hit 40-yard screamers all the time. Like that is like a people who do that. It's like a very ball hoggy point guard who likes to jack up threes from like when they're covered, you know, behind the 3-point line or something. Yeah, it's just a trait that I don't like in somebody.
Ross Barkley does belong to the exclusive club of players that did celebrate before their goal actually crossed the goal line. So I'll love him forever for that Everton celebration. Martial,
it's like some real Firmino stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure. Martial, I think, is the safer bet just for assured starts. My issue is he is a mercurial player, going back to my Ozil point, and I don't think I'm confident what I'm going to get from him week to week.
His numbers are even better than I realized. I didn't realize he had four goals and an assist in just his last three matches. 7.4 million. You know, he really is a reasonably priced player. I mean, I could move Madison to Marshall right now, and that is kind of tempting to be honest. You know, the Man City derbies in game week 12, which makes it a little less tempting.
Here's another layer for that, though. I think a lot of it depends on Paul Pogba. Paul Pogba had a great game over the weekend and feeding great passes. The assist for Martial's goal was just perfectly weighted. I think a lot of Martial's FPL output is going to come down to your faith in Pogba putting some consistency together in feeding the players up front. So I don't know if we need to take that into consideration or not, but I think we do.
Yeah, well, you mean like Pogba as an option or just Pogba?
No, I don't mean to say that Pogba is, we should be looking to FPL we should be looking to Pogba for our teams, more that if you believe that Martial is going to continue to produce, I believe that that means you also have to believe that Pogba will continue to play exceptionally going forward.
Yeah, well, that's fair. And, you know, I guess, I assume that Lukaku will not be coming off the bench on a regular basis, which, may have helped Martial as well, although I do think they can play together. I think the thing about Martial is that, it's not like Mourinho – it's not like a player can't get consistent attacking returns out of a Mourinho team, right? He's had this issue finding the right midfield combination, like basically since he's been at Man United. But, you go back to his Chelsea teams. Eden Hazard had an extraordinary season, the year that they won the league under Mourinho. Mm-hmm. I think maybe the first 2 years under Mourinho, including the third year when he got sacked. And those players played consistently too, right? I think that year that
unchanged lineup throughout the entire season.
Exactly. So I think that Martial is probably pretty safe, more safe than Barkley, I'd say. It's kind of hard to compare them because Martial is so much more expensive. 1.6 million, when you're talking about midfielders, it almost feels like a different bracket in your team, in terms of where you slot them in. Yeah. Obviously I've got Kennedy, so I'm fine. I wouldn't dream of moving my beloved Kennedy, but
that's FPL gold right there. ain't broke, don't fix
Kennedy.
It, Josh.
Yeah, exactly. I'm on Hyannis Port right now with the Kennedy family. So let's talk about some other players in this list, though. Richarlison, I thought he played better.
Yeah, let's talk about Sigurdsson and Richarlison together, maybe.
Yeah, so I think, you last week were shouting out Sigurdsson a little bit, and I was still kind of reluctant to go along with that, but I was really impressed with how well he played in this match. I thought that with better finishing for some of his team, he played some really nice through balls. He really looked like he was in form.
He had look at goal too with that incredible header where he came crashing into the box. So there is still quite a bit of goal threat coming from Siggy right now.
So he's got the crazy splits right now for this team where they've got Brighton at home followed by Chelsea away, Cardiff at home, and Liverpool away. So only two of those four would you really want him, And so I guess if you had to pick between Martial and Sigurdsson, who would you pick? I'll throw a Charleston in there too. If you had to pick between those three.
Yeah, well, Sigurdsson is the classic FPL pick because you can put all of these add-ons onto Sigurdsson. He's on set pieces, mm-hmm. dead balls, penalties, all that sort of thing. Plus, he's exhibiting some goal threat. Martial, for the great form he is, still poses some rotation risk depending on how Mourinho feels week to week. But Martial's one attribute is goal scoring. So I don't know. I look at Sigurdsson a little more closely than Martial. Richarlison, I think it's much as being made about his move to striker. Is it bad for him? Is it good for him? I thought he did look, he didn't look any worse than Lukaku has this season playing up front.
I think it was his best. I haven't seen the stats or anything, but it certainly felt just from an eye test, it was his best match as striker. Yeah. He had sort of figured out how to maybe play. It kind of makes sense, right? That it would take him a while to figure out how to play in that position.
Yeah. Presumably longer than he's had. So progress seems to be moving along probably faster than one would guess.
Yeah, so I'm certainly feeling a lot of regret about not just holding him. That was a mistake, and I'm just kind of hoping, that's whatever. We all, in a 38 game week season, every FPL manager is going to make some mistakes. I can live with it, but it's kind of annoying. I definitely wish I had him on my team right now, or at least some kind of Everton coverage for.
So we'll talk a little bit about Pereira and Fraser. We have these special breakout. We have a breakout session coming up, Josh, for Watford and Bournemouth. I love Shaqiri being in this list. I think he's looked amazing for Liverpool, but you can't go near him with your FPL team thus far.
It's not for me. I don't like bringing in players that I have to hold my breath every time the team sheet comes out. I just, it's just not fun. I know you can say that about Pep's teams a little bit too, but But I don't know. I mean, in those teams, if your guy plays, he's probably going to pick up point. I don't know. Like, I guess that wasn't true today with the with the Silvas, both disappointing. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. I'm not feeling the Shaqiri thing either. If he was like $5.5 million, and you're kind of like, hey, if he plays, great, you know. But he's like, well, he's still over $7 million, right, or 7.1 maybe. So. Just a little too much money for a rotation prone player.
Yeah, he is very reminiscent of Oxlade-Chamberlain for Liverpool last season. So maybe as he gets more chemistry with the triumvirate up front, we'll see more of him. But if we do, then we can revisit.
Yeah, the final question was from Wang Agitos, who said maybe. He's talking about Knockert, a player he's got to replace. He says maybe his replacement is Mendy or a member of Ram, the Paul McCartney nicknamed group of Robertson. I mean, we're not worried about Robertson, right? That was clearly just a 1 week rest. Yeah, Robertson, Alonso, and Mendy. I'm so glad that Alonso delivered. So we don't have any. I don't think we had any questions this week about when we can get rid of Alonso.
No, that one has been swept under the rug. I like this question from Juan because it goes back to something we've been banging on about all season: is are we spending too much of our energy trying to find this elusive, perfect mid-price midfielder when the guys who are in that range of $6 million to $7 million are the wingbacks for top six sides who are really delivering the points week after week? Ram. So are we?
I mean, but you can get those. Yeah. You can get those three, but then you're still gonna have to play somebody in the midfield. You know, I mean, like, who's I don't know. There's no one in that like five. Maybe David Brooks, the Bournemouth.
Yeah, he's 5'1"
midfield. 5'1" Yeah, I mean, that's like there's not a lot to recommend in that range. You know, so that there is the, I mean, and if you're going to play a player like that with any kind of consistency, then you're just going to be getting 2 points week in and week out. And I don't know. I mean, like, I maybe that's okay, you know, because if you're going to consistently get attacking returns from those defenders, but you're really not, you know, I mean, just like at Alonso the last 4 or 5 game weeks, right, before he came through with the assist in this last one, you know, a lot of times it's just clean sheets and 2 pointers from them as well, you know. It's just the same as getting goals and blanks from your midfielders, yeah, you know? Right. So, I don't know. I mean, I think ideally, you can have those three and you can have a couple cheap defenders and you can still spend a little more money in that midfield.
All right. So our breakout session here, we're going to focus on two of the most informed mid-table sides, Watford and Bournemouth. Now they're interesting sides because they are in form, clean sheets plus attacking goods, but they have a mixed bag of fixtures. First up, it's Watford. And they have two enticing fixtures, though, away from home, Newcastle and Southampton. Then it's Liverpool at home, Leicester away, Man City at home. So their two home fixtures in the next five are diabolical. But we do have a few questions on Watford. AJ on our Slack channel says, what are Watford? Are they good? Great? Bad? Good value? Bad value? Good attack? Bad defense? Yeah. Good defense? Yeah. Bad attack? Cannot pin them down. So your quick impressions of Watford as it stands, Joshua?
They are more fun than they've been the last couple of years. I mean, you know, I'm a little biased against them because the way they keep ending these seasons is such a drag, right? Where they're sort of like a fun team at the start of the year, and then they basically like lose out, right? And they just like, they like lose their last 11 matches and they're just unwatchably bad for like, you know, the final third of the season. So it's like, I still have my guard up a little bit. Like that's going to keep happening, you know? It does seem like kind of all of these, everything's kind of clicking right now, right? It's like Pere is finally staying healthy. Etienne Capoue is playing well again, you know. It's like all of these, it just, you know, they don't really have a forward, which is kind of interesting, and it's kind of working for them, right? I mean, I think Gerald Delphi played as a forward in this last match, right? So it's an interesting situation with them right now. I don't know. I mean, I don't know that I think their defense is that good. I mean, these teams keep like beating up on Huddersfield, you know, and it's like I never know how good a team is after they get a good win against Huddersfield. Because like for Huddersfield decided the only way they're going to score goals is on set pieces and Ross Barkley style screamers from about 50 yards away. Yeah. Like, I feel like, you know, there's this thing in America called goal rush where you're watching, you're watching some match and then they sort of cut in with highlights from other matches. And I feel like every match now I watch an almost goal from a Huddersfield player where they're like right around the halfway line and they line up for some mega shot. Yeah. Right. And then like the goalkeeper makes a save and it always looks great, but it's also like, well, like it kind of just like, was it that hard of a save? Or did you just have to like move quickly? Yeah. Cause you know, if you didn't have time to do it, I don't know.
They do seem like they're going to be one of those teams that goes down because they insisted on doing it the right way and they will be punished for it. Going back to Watford, a note on their defense, FPL Ant and also Stephen Toomey, a noted Watford fan, came in with a remark on Kiko Firmino. So he's priced at 4.2, a cheap way into their defense. Firmino is only playing because Daryl Janmaat is out with an injury. So maybe that's
perma-injured Janmaat.
Yeah, sure. So perhaps a two-week punt. I'm not going to say two-week punt on Kiko Firmino because two-week defensive punts for me, see Ben Me, have not been working on me. But Newcastle and Southampton, an interesting opportunity for you to bring in and possibly start a 4.2 mil Kiko Firmino, and but just beware that Janmaat might be coming back to displace him.
Yeah, and they're both away, and then they play Liverpool, Man City, and even Leicester away. I mean, I don't really love any of their next five fixtures, to be honest. Maybe the Southampton one, game week 12. I mean, from the attacking perspective, I think it's perfectly reasonable to look at picking up a Delafeu type, right? At 5.4 million, he's kind of a attractive punt, you know, for like a fourth midfielder. But
just a note on Delafeu, Josh. Danny Bean wrote in, Delafeu is the new Madison. And Danny is only writing in, I know, because he is one of the more maverick FPL managers I know, and he enjoys that. And he actually captained Delafeu this week.
I saw that. Outrageous. Yeah, I'm glad he did. I beat him in our head-to-head this league, probably as a result of that. I guess that's all we have to say about Watford. What about Bournemouth?
Brandon? Yeah, Bournemouth are probably the most in-form mid-table side, but their fixtures are really turning. And in the next five, they're facing United, Arsenal, and Manchester City. In the mix, there are a couple of more enticing fixtures, Newcastle and Huddersfield. So the question here is everyone's favorite game, buy, sell, hold? Even Matthews Mitzik is playing. He says, Wilson and Fraser, buy, sell, hold. So I guess the question...
Brendan, do you think that...
Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So I'm to answer your question, I maybe buy... To be honest, I wonder if they might be fixture proof. It's not that I think they're one of the best teams in the league, although it's possible they finished in the top 10 this year. But I do believe in them as an attacking force, right? I don't think it's easy for them to be held scoreless. Yeah. And even though they play Man United and Arsenal in two of the next three, those are both at home. And it's sandwiched around a Newcastle away fixture. They do play Man City in 4 weeks, but I mean, 4 weeks is a long time, and a lot can happen in 4 weeks, right? Maybe, and no one does anything against Man City anyway, right? So maybe you just prepare to bench them in 4 weeks. Yeah. But I don't know. What do you think?
I do agree with you. Well, I don't know if I'm going to go so far as to say you should buy these players if you don't have, but I'm a Fraser owner, and I do agree with you in terms of the, it's not necessarily that I think that Bournemouth is fixture proof, but it's more what do you expect? If I look at Fraser, he's already jumped up to 6.1 million, but 3 goals and 5 assists. Right. He's not returning every game week. So even against the likes of if I'm looking back at their fixtures, Burnley, Crystal Palace, Everton, he blanked in those fixtures. So if you're looking ahead to these upcoming City, Arsenal, United fixtures and saying, well, I've got to get rid of my Bournemouth assets, I do think that's a bit knee-jerky, because even if the fixtures were great, your expectations of returns on your Bournemouth assets wouldn't even be I'm getting goals and assists from Fraser or Wilson every single week. That's not why you bring in these mid-priced players. So I do agree it's a definitely a hold if you have them. And I don't know, going back to our broader mid-price conversation, I don't know where you go to get better value than Ryan Fraser at the moment.
Callum Wilson too, right? I really, yeah. I'm reluctant. I mean, how well does he have to play before we finally give him a little love in this podcast? Yeah. You know, like we're 10 weeks in, I guess it's finally time to shout him out a little bit. You know, he's definitely got it done this year. I mean, you know, it's really, I mean, a couple of years ago, I think we all liked Callum Wilson, right? I mean, he's when he came up with Bournemouth and he had that knee injury though.
Yeah, exactly. Every time we come to grow to love him, he blows out his knee and that's it. Speaking of shout outs though, you mentioned him briefly earlier. Adam P chimes in about David Brooks, 5.1, 3 goals in 4 game weeks. That's an incredible rate of return for somebody who looks like they're just got done with their bar mitzvah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just such a nice, easy move. Yeah. You know, it's the move I wish I would have made this week. Yeah. So, all right, Brendan, let's take a quick break. We're going to get back and we're going to do, we're going to talk about some strikers. And we're also going to do our lightning round.
All right, it's time to talk about our friends at Starting 11. Josh, I can hear it in your voice. FPL has just got you stressed out. So many players blanking and you're freaking out.
Yeah, preach. Yeah, I agree.
I know. You're tired of planning for the long term. You're tired of not being able to have every player that you want because you can't squeeze them into your piddly little FPL budget. But here's the big thing for you, Josh.
My poor piddly team.
Here's the thing for you, Josh. I know you well. I know that what you want to do more than anything else is to play FPL for cash prizes.
That's actually like legitimately true.
So here's the thing. Starting 11 provides us a way to play fantasy Premier League for cash prizes. It's available on your smartphone, iOS, or Android phone. And how you play, any day there are 2 or more Premier League matches going, you just fire up the app and you can set a lineup quick as you like, jump into various competitions with people around the world or challenge your friends to those competitions. There is no budget in terms of setting up your lineup. You can have whoever you want, however many players you want from any single team that's playing that day. You can adjust your lineup right up until the kickoff. So what was the big issue in game week 10, Josh?
All the rotation and sickness and unplanned sicknesses.
You see the team sheet and you see your players not playing. Go into your Starting 11 app. Just knock that player right out. Bring in a new one. No problem. And while the games are happening live, you can make 3 in-game substitutions. It feels more active and participatory than ever.
Yep. So starting11.io, Brandon, just a final reminder. And we've bore this out in our own gambling experience in the UK. Don't waste your money gambling on things you don't understand. Be smart and participate in a game you do. Check out Starting 11. You can find them on Twitter, online. You can download it for your iOS and app, and you can start playing this weekend. Brandon, we're back. The Metro Blues. Sounds like the Rescue Blues, a great Ryan Adams Indeed. Song from the album
Got the
Gold.
Metro Blues.
Dibendu Mukadri says, do we hold on to Mitchell for 1 more week as he has Huddersfield this weekend? Is Arnie a good option if he keeps on missing easy games? Glenn Murray could be a good option also, can't he? So, Brandon, you know, as we sort of famously did, we ran through every single forward in the game not so long ago. I don't know if we could do that for the midfielders. That would be like a 5-hour podcast. There's all those little 4.2 guys down there, 4.3 guys.
Yeah.
Glenn Murray, the player that you famously rejected.
And, I rejected him, yes. I spurned him.
Are you what do you think about Glenn Murray now? Has anything changed? You hate him as much as ever.
What's changed for me with Glenn Murray is I just fear for his health. coming back and playing with that massive traumatic brain injury that he suffered a week ago. Yeah. That is worrying. But yeah, the man continues to score goals at a prodigious rate for a man who is almost as old as I am.
So my current thinking is I think that Mitro, regardless of how he plays in the Huddersfield match, may be playing his final match in my team. I think I am going to keep him for Huddersfield, but Glenn Murray, starting in game week 12, has a very nice little 5-week run of fixtures. Cardiff away, Leicester at home, Huddersfield away, Palace at home, Burnley away. In those five games, if I told you that he got, I don't know, 3 goals and 1 assist, would that surprise you? Maybe the 1 assist would surprise you.
Yeah, not really an assist guy. 3 goals, sure, I would buy it. I mean, it's a great run of fixtures. It is a great run. So
you're getting emotional over there. Just take a breath. You know, I know you love Murray, but my goodness,
this is such a tricky conversation to have because
you want to get Muto, don't you? You got Muto fever.
I want Muto. Now, the strikers at this price point are going to be flakes, unless you're Jamie Vardy of old. So, I mean, Glenn Murray, I think someone was saying online, this discussion came up and he scored a goal last season and then went on to blank for 9 fixtures straight.
Right.
So he is prone to droughts and he will also be, I don't know. I do worry about Glenn Murray as a long-term pick.
Yeah. Well, if he didn't look so old, it would be easier to bring him in.
Is it ageist?
Right?
Are we being ageist? I wonder if we are.
I genuinely wonder if we are to a certain degree. He looks like a friar, right? He looks like he has the like rounded hair on the outside, bald on top.
Stupid hair plugs.
You can imagine him in like a monk's cloak, right? Like very easily.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Maybe what I'm thinking is... it's such an uninspired conversation, and perhaps it's a blind spot for me. But do we want to upend the current 3-up-front template? I feel like we've all sort of converged on playing a 3-4-3 for the last, you know, four weeks. Yeah, for forever, for a lifetime. Maybe we take a little time out for the next few weeks and try our hand at the 3-5-2 or the 4-4-2.
Oh, we haven't talked about Ike's success at all. I mean, I don't know if it does Ike get you going at all, Brandon?
No, he doesn't.
Okay. 4.5 million. I mean, picked up a goal. I don't know.
That is like getting on the Kamara bandwagon, which hand up doesn't exist, never existed. But no, those assets are trouble. Those are assets that you just have to wait until you have a wild card to play to get rid of them.
Success is
only going to be a problem for you.
Yeah.
Isn't this one of our top 10, you know, rules for FPL success?
Success is going to be a problem
striker
for me.
Yeah. Very prescient, those rules.
You're gonna have a problem with success, and the problem is you're gonna have too much success, and you won't know what to do with it. And you're gonna want to get rid of some of that success.
I will say this. Maybe this is just I'm putting this on the record, and I won't do it, but I can point to me saying it on the podcast to say I told you so after the fact. But I'm quite seriously thinking of dropping Mitro ahead of the Huddersfield fixture.
Yeah.
For who, for what? I'm not entirely sure.
Well, that is the question. Let's walk through it. I mean, you've got 7 million in the bank. So you've got lots of options there, right?
Yeah, the first obvious option, which Mood Charlie brings up, is I have 0.5 in the bank. I was thinking of going Wilson to Arnie. Arnie is the first one, and both you and I have Arnie, so it's off the table for us. But if you don't have Arnie, I think, go ahead and move Mitro to Arnie for game
week
11.
Wait a couple days, right? I mean, he's
sure. Yes,
he's got a knee injury that didn't play, so
that is prudent. We've got the yellow flag, the illness, the knee, and all that sort of thing. But I think for me, I'm leaning toward this idea of maybe downgrading Mitro to a Jimenez and getting a heavier hitter in the midfield like Martial, or maybe even taking a flyer on De La Feu if it looks like he's continued to be healthy and play out of position. But Mitro is one of those template players that he's that thing that Theo Walcott was doing to us last season. For whatever reason, right. we've all got it in our mind that we have to have him. It's not working. Fulham is in complete free fall right now. And, you know, it's not even interesting to have that discussion of, well, of course, Mitro is a class goal scorer and Fulham, at least their philosophy is to attack. It doesn't matter. They're in the worst form imaginable for a Premier League team right now. And nothing apart from a gut instinct that that the team will perform well against Huddersfield would say
it feels like he hasn't had a scoring chance in weeks, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, that's another issue.
Yeah,
perhaps I am in a position where I don't have another fire to put out, so I am contemplating moving Mitro. So yeah. I think that maybe it's bad advice to a manager that does have other fires to put
that's
out.
That's true. I forgot how I should have viewed this through the lens of how good your team is.
Oh, my team is flawless, Josh.
Yeah, I mean, okay.
Come to my upcoming TED talk about how to set an FPL lineup.
Yeah, it is. I guess, you know, it's funny because I was just talking about how I could move Mitro next week for Glenn Murray. And it's like, even then, it's like, why don't I just move him to Callum Wilson, for goodness sakes? You know, like that would be I'd have the money to do it. It wouldn't, you know, I'd free up money for it. They play away to Newcastle in the next game week. I mean, they play home to Huddersfield in game week 15. It's the Arsenal match wouldn't scare me either. It'd just be, you know, I mean, playing Man City in one of the next – well, I mean, this is assuming I make the move at game week 12, but, you know, play Man City in one of those four, I should have enough bench strength to bench him for 1 week, you know? So, I don't know. I mean, it's just – it's funny how even now I feel like we're still not quite comfortable bringing him in, you know?
No, yeah. It is strange. He is one of my you know, boogeyman players.
I know. Same here. Yeah. I also had him for like a 10-week run of blanks last year, which is a hard thing to get over. I mean, it's hard to totally cast that stuff aside, you know?
Yeah. All right. We can't talk about strikers without talking about Aguero, the man, the myth, the 65-minute legend. But have you lost faith? This performance against Spurs, he didn't look all that great, but it's another blank from him and not a full 90.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like if I lose my faith in him, I'll have nothing left to lose, you know. But I do think you got to hold him for Southampton. I mean, Southampton at home, like he's probably going to play that fixture.
It's a captaincy, one of the big captaincy options for game week 11. So yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
drop him at your own detriment. Interesting question to round out the striker section from Limonk. If the money is not an issue, which two forward combo would you use for the next game? So it's almost like we're playing starting 11, Josh. Budget is not an issue. So if we say Aguero is assumed, where are we with Aubameyang? Is he in that conversation?
Yeah, that's exactly where my brain was going. I mean, he's tempting. You know, especially game weeks 12 and 13, Wolves and Bournemouth. I don't like the way that he's been coming off the bench sometimes, although obviously that sounds foolish considering he picked up 27 points in 57 combined minutes, you know, and two bench appearances. I don't know. I mean, it's – so just for the next 2 weeks, who would I pick? It wouldn't be Harry Kane, I'll tell you that much. It actually would be Aguero. I mean, especially just considering that – how good that fixture is, the Huddersfield one. The Southampton match. This is really the issue, is unless you're – the only move that's appealing is Aguero to Aubameyang, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, Lacazette's blanked 2 weeks in a row as well, you know? Mm-hmm. So, Lukaku isn't even starting right now. Harry Kane is completely off form. Jamie Vardy does not look like the same player. He also came off the bench this game week.
Yeah.
So
there is some concern, too, that the worm is turning for Arsenal. And, the fixtures are turning. Is Arsenal, this is pure speculation, but will Arsenal be exposed for the frauds that they are? And Aubameyang, for his consistent delivery, he's basically just scoring on every shot he takes. He's being set up by his teammates for pretty big chances, but it's hardly sustainable.
He's a lethal striker who's at the peak of his career. It wouldn't shock me if he won the Golden Boot this year. I mean, it's not like any of this is like stunning or ridiculous, you know, but I still prefer Aguero, and maybe I'm just being stubborn, but that's how I feel.
Yeah. It just seems like if you're looking at stats and team stats and just the likelihood of where goals are going to come from, it's still all the signs point to Aguero. He's on the most attacking team that is just crushing the entire league on the stats pages. And even though Aguero is finding it a little tricky to find the back of the net right now, he still is the most likely.
We're on to part three, the lightning round, Brandon. As always, as never, actually, short answers, short and snappy answers to short and snappy questions. FPL Singh says, is Pogba a real option for FPL? One word answer, Brandon.
Maybe.
I was going to say no. Not at 8 million. How many pens can they get this season? Like, this can't keep happening, right? They can't keep getting pens.
Yeah, and it's not your favorite thing for Pogba to be on your team, for him to get a pen and then miss it only to score a goal. You're not maximizing your points there.
No, you're really not.
The thing that makes me err toward maybe yes is Pogba is finally becoming that talismanic leader of the team. And
I don't know. He'd gone seven scoreless matches before this. You know, I don't know. I'm not feeling it with Pogba, and especially not when you get Anthony Marshall for 0.6 cheaper.
Yeah. Again, but going to the tried and true Mesut Ozil comparison, it's like when everything is going right for Pogba, then he's a great FPL asset. But the odds of that happening, this is what I was saying about Martial as well. So,
too streaky. Yeah. FPL Llama, Liverpool defense hokey cokey continues. Are Alisson and Robertson the only options? Maybe just Alisson.
Maybe just Alisson. No, Robertson is not a problem. And also the same could be said of Mendy. If Mendy ends up, getting on the you've been bad list and has to start on the bench a few times, the FPL output you're still going to get from these guys, even missing a few game weeks, is astronomical. Alonso, the whole Ram lineup. If these guys miss a few weeks, they're still crushing every other defender in terms of point output. So I'm not concerned there. And I guess you have to throw Van Dijk in the mix just because of his consistency of starts, but it looks like attacking output from him is not going to happen. So yeah, I guess just for value, then you say Alisson, but for best asset, it's Robertson.
Van Dijk got closer than he has. Like he had a couple chances in this match, but yeah.
Still no league goal for Liverpool for Van Dijk.
I don't think so. Yeah. Zoltan Vaga says, would you drop Lacazette for Arnie or some other cheaper forward? Would it allow me to do Trent Alexander-Arnold to Mendy? I don't know if that's for a four. I wouldn't do that for a minus four, certainly.
If you banked two transfers, then I think that's pretty sexy. Laka to Arnie and Trent to Mendy. I like that.
Yeah. I guess Arnie was just sick, too. I know his knee, but his knee hasn't bothered him. It just feels like he's like a little snake bitten this year, although I don't know. He's still knocking on the goals. But I guess that's fine. I really like Lacazette's fixtures after this game week, though. I really would love to have him for game weeks 12 and 13, Wolves and Bournemouth. Mm-hmm. So, they play Spurs and Man United back to back in 14 and 15, and they play Liverpool in game week 11. So, I don't know. I don't know if I'd make those moves or not, to be honest.
I'm getting antsy now. Hearing you just talk about it, we'll walk it back. It's less sexy.
Rich Kauser says, how long do we wait for KDB and is Salah essential again? Rich, wait till KDB starts a game, okay? Let's wait till he starts one game in the Premier League, and then I'll consider bringing him.
Everyone very excited to get KDB in their teams, but yeah, hold your horses.
I'm overly excited, in my opinion.
Similar question, Sean number one, and asks, obviously, Salah is an improvement on Mane, but trying to fit KDB in to Salah, Hazard, Aguero, and a good defense, is it worth keeping Mane to more easily fit in KDB? The question that Sean is asking is, I want KDB, but I don't have Salah. Maybe I just keep Mane for Liverpool coverage so I can do KDB.
I don't know. I'm just not like as in love with KDB as everybody else is. So I mean, he like came off like a pretty bad knee injury. His minutes are clearly being managed. They still have Champions League matches to play this fall. I don't know. It just doesn't $10 million for a guy who, you know, might only get 15 minutes in, you know, some of these fixtures. It just isn't hugely appealing to me. So, you know, that's kind of where I am with him.
Another lightning round question. Pierre, I think we've kind of covered this in our earlier discussion. Are Laka and Richarlison sellable at this time? Is Mane enough? All right. Quick game of buy, sell, hold, Josh. Lacazette.
Okay. All right. Hold. I wouldn't buy, but I would hold.
Yeah, I think we agreed that Richarlison is a hold if you already have at this time.
Yeah.
And this, I love this, is it's just a very abstract question. Is Mane enough?
I love in-form Mane. I love the way he scores goals when he's in form. He just rips the ball.
I agree. If I had Mane, I'd feel pretty excited about that performance over the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
For obvious reasons.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and he kind of got a rest last weekend too, right? So FPL Nick says, Patricio to Fabianski. It's our final question for this game week.
Goalkeeper move, always a luxury move. But I like Fabianski. Great save machine. West Ham doesn't have the best defense, but they're coming into it. I feel like West Ham's defense is among the, like, it's one of the most improved awards over the last few weeks.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't do that move. I mean, Patricio's a great keeper. Wolves' defense have been fantastic this year. They do have two difficult fixtures, but you have to view every goalkeeper transfer through a long lens. And, you know, once they get through these next two fixtures, it's a pretty nice run, like through game week 29, basically, you know, like just a couple bad ones in there, you know? So it's not hugely appealing. I mean, it's annoying to have to go through these next two difficult fixtures, but I'm actually, Maddie D is starting in my 11 right now this weekend. I mean, I certainly didn't see anything from Spurs that made me think that it was a huge mistake to start him, you know, at home in that game.
And a lot of the attacking chances against Brighton came from Matt Doherty. So
yeah, could have had a brace, yeah.
But speaking of Brighton, just let's spare a thought for the Brighton defensive bandwagon that's building. Duffy and a lot of people's thoughts, incredible run for them coming up. Everton, Cardiff, Leicester, Huddersfield, Crystal Palace, they're turning into that sort of a Burnley of old clean sheet machine mid-table side.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. You know, Everton is kind of tempting too as a defensive team. I feel like it's Peter Blake on Twitter has been really big upping them of late. I think I'm finally starting to come around a little bit. I don't know. It's kind of there's some interesting. I actually, if they were cheaper, I wish they had like one cheap way into that team.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's like a little too expensive.
Digne, how much is Digne? He's been serving in lots of tasty crosses.
4.8. It's a little too much. I want 4.5.
All right. So, any news of game week 11? What's your bus team looking like? Who's your captain?
Yeah, let's look at that bus team real quick. All right, I have my captain on Aguero. I've got Hazard as my vice. We didn't really talk about Hazard at all. It's just too early to know what the deal is there. I like the way my starting 11 looks, to be honest. I'm starting Fabianski this weekend. I mean, if Arnie's healthy, if Mitro can recover, I've got Kennedy in my starting 11. The bench is weak. So, I'd be worried. If anyone from my starting 11 didn't play, I'd be a little worried.
Mm-hmm.
The Madison is the player I'm actually considering moving out because I just really – I did not like how deep he played in that team and how little his teammates seemed to want to give him the ball. I don't think he's popular, Brandon. I think he's very unpopular
in that squad.
Yeah.
I don't know. They are playing Cardiff. I don't know. There are some rumblings or concerns that maybe this fixture gets moved because Leicester obviously have bigger priorities at the moment. Mm. So I guess keep your ears tuned for information there. But
is that true? I hadn't heard that.
It's just, hey, could this be a possibility? There have been no legitimate reports that this is on the table. But considering what that town and what that club are having to deal with right now, I think they're probably just going to I'm not qualified to speak to these things.
Yeah, I could move Madison to Richarlison. Wouldn't that be a sick move? Wouldn't that be? That'd be
sickening.
Ill.
I feel ill. Sometimes those are. I did that with Zlatan a couple seasons ago. Sometimes you just have to admit when you make a mistake.
Yeah, that is true, actually. Yeah, and I mean, Gylfi would be tempting as well. So,
yeah, here's my trick with my bus team is Phil Billing, who he's been my man. He's been my little pet project this season, and consistent starts. People seem to like his attacking play, but Huddersfield are pretty crap. This is a home fixture for Huddersfield against the. Yep. Perhaps a crapper team than them, especially at the moment. Do I start Phil Billing in game week 11?
Over who? Who would you start him over?
I guess I'd have to start him over Ryan Fraser, who's at home to Manchester United. But that seems insane.
Can't do that.
The only way I start Billing, I guess, is if I go five in the midfield, or maybe Hazard really does have an injury that keeps him out for another game week, and then he slots in nicely there.
Yeah, hopefully we get some news on that front. I guess I would hold for another week if he was out, but it would be very frustrating. That would not be what I would want to do. I mean, that's a lot of money to hold if he's out for a while, but it doesn't sound that bad, right? I mean, Sarri was talking after the game like he's hoping to have him ready for next weekend. And if so, Eden Hazard at home to Crystal Palace is – okay, let's say he is fully cleared, right? Let's say he trains Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, looks like he's totally good to go. He is arguably a better captain option than Aguero, right? I mean, it's like – it's really close.
It's very close. I agree. Home form for Aguero. Aguero is notoriously good at the Etihad. So I still think Aguero wins out for me with a fit and firing Hazard this week.
Has not gone a home match without scoring this season.
Yeah.
Actually, no, that's not true. He did it twice. But he did get – I should have looked at the numbers before I said that. He did pick up attacking returns in both those matches, though. So we had two assists in the Fulham game. And
yeah.
And then an assist in the Newcastle.
Maybe
match,
he's the safer option, and that's not really. I don't know. That's not a fun thing to do to go with the safer option. What about Salah? So Salah gaining form. We're saying maybe he's essential now in the game. 13 million. What's the point of having this guy if you can't captain him? Arsenal's defense.
I mean, you could captain him. I mean, I like all three of them, but right now Aguero seems like the best pick. Hazard is a close second, assuming he's healthy. And then I put Salah third. And then obviously Kennedy is fourth. You know, I mean, if he doesn't get a hat trick, I would be devastated.
Why not triple cap Kennedy? What's giving you pause?
Nothing, actually. I'm going to change it as we talk. And best of luck.
Triple cap active. Those tiny little shin pads of his.
I know. Jeez. I mean, their fixtures are so good, right? Watford, Bournemouth, and West Ham at home in three of the next four. I've got to get something from this guy, right?
You would think.
I don't know. Jeez.
The Newcastle season only starts when Jonjo Shelvey scores a 30-yard screamer. And that will be like the gun going off to start a marathon. And only when that happens will Newcastle actually get some points on the board.
Yeah. That's going to happen eventually. I need that Kennedy Mudo play the link up play to finally work out. All right. Well, that's the podcast, Brandon. Good luck to everybody this weekend. And again, this is we're starting up a new retro shirt contest for November. That'll start this week. So if you want to become a Patreon and become part of that, win a free retro kit as provided by Starting 11, then we hope you'll do so. If you want to participate in our knockout league, you also want to join this week. So it's almost like a mini pledge week for us, Brent. If you've been thinking about becoming a Patreon supporter, this is the week to do it. We got a new contest launching. We got two new contests launching.
I'm putting the 1-800 number up on the screen right now. So please call in right away.
But just yeah, visit patreon.com/alwayscheating. You can learn a little bit more about us and why we're even doing this Patreon. Producer thank yous, Mike DiPietro, Stephen Toomey, Sam Streak, Jacob Roberts, Nick Costello, Carl Rasmus, Laney Granley, Chris Howell, Rafai Khan, Martin Savage, Rick Brailsford, Jim Payne, Adam Benjamin, Max Chamberlain, Brian T., and Trevor Ingerson. Brendan, we also put out the call last week to producers. Each of our producers gets a chance to pick a topic for a Patreon-exclusive podcast. Rafai Khan, Jacob Roberts, and Brian T. all gave us some suggestions. So we're going to try to put those into motion in the next couple of weeks.
Trevor also submitted the slice of life request. So you're on, Trevor. The rest of you producers, you're on notice. Get in touch. All right. Don't forget to subscribe to Always Cheating. We're on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Acast, TuneIn, Pocket Cast, wherever it is you get your podcasts, except for Spotify. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes. That would be so cool of you. Follow us on Twitter at Hail Cheaters, Facebook.com/AlwaysCheating. Email us with your very lengthy missives at HailCheaters@gmail.com. Or just visit our website where all this information is available at your fingertips. Have you been to the website recently, Josh?
Within the last week, I would say.
That's great. Our traffic showed that you were there. You were the one.
My IP address showed up.
Go to alwayscheating.com. All right.
Great. Yeah. Good luck to everyone this weekend. Thanks again to Wayne Welsh, Joe, and Brian Fay for becoming new Patreon supporters.
Hail Lester.